Hi, this is Marcy Hill, and I am here with Diane Latiker, the Executive Director of Kids Off the Block. And how are you today, Diane?
I'm fine, and how are you, Marcy?
I am doing well. Today I wanted to talk to you about Kids Off the Block, how you guys got started, what are you guys doing to maintain, even in these challenging economic times, and how do you personally keep your passion? How does it keep you going in spite of? And we have a lot of in spite of these days.
Yes.
So first I would like to know, when did Kids on the Block get started and how did it begin?
It got started in July of 2003. And it started because I have 8 kids of my own, 4 boys and 4 girls. My daughter was at home, Aisha, she's 13. She had 9 friends that she played with up and down the block, and ever since she was little, they all used to run up and down the street and tear up the grass, flowers, fences, you name it, they tear it up. And you know, I knew it was because they needed something to do. It's kids, you know. So I started hanging out with them, taking them swimming, skating, movies, so I could keep up with her. And my mother Evangelist Ruth Jackson, she said, "Diane, why don't you do something with those kids? They like you, they respect you." I was like, "Oh, that's nice, but I didn't want to do it." Aisha was 13, she was my last one. I thought in 5 years she'd go off to college, I'd be free. That didn't happen. I prayed literally for 3 days and asked the Lord to give me something that I love and I wanted to do, but I had no idea that would be it. And on July 15th, it was a very hot day and they were all out in the front, screaming, running. And I went up to him and I said, if I started something in the house, I had no idea what, honestly. And I said, would you participate? And all of them, including her, said, yeah. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a rapper. I want to be a singer. They just wanted to do some everything. And that's what got me, because I realized they didn't want to be out there. They wanted to do something. They just wanted somebody to say, hey, let's go, you know. And I took them in my living room, which was very small. Started writing little corny raps for them. And on Fridays, I would invite their parents over to my house, sit on the couch, and watch them perform these little corny raps. And it was so cool, because the parents were so proud of them. I don't think they even heard what they were saying. They just were so proud that they were doing something. And the kids were so proud of themselves. And I was stuck. So I started learning about the other 9 kids real good, like getting into their lives, building relationships, coming to find out the issues they had at home and at school. And it just touched my heart. I mean, it really did. It literally made me cry. Because I had 8 kids of my own. I thought I was a mom, knew everything. But I didn't. I didn't know what the other kids were going through. And I looked up one day and it was 25.
And then I looked up. 9 to 25.
And then I looked up and it was 35 and I was in my dining room. And then I looked up one day and I was in my bedroom, my first bedroom, and I had 75 young people in my house. I had an apartment. And my husband said, "Excuse me, we ain't going no further." I'm like, "Why? What?" But it had split. So, I realized the need. When I looked up and saw 75 young people in my house, I realized there was a need. These kids didn't know me from Adam, but they were coming to my house. And I was getting to know their names, who they were, what they loved to do. And by the way, I found out that was the key and the secret to our young people, was to find out what they loved to do. Because if you find out what they love to do, then you could get them into other things, like if they love to play basketball, but they were failing in school, you could get them to get tutoring because they love basketball. So I found out that was the key to them. So every kid, I'd be like, what you want to do, what you love, what you really love, you know, what's your interest, and get them into that. And then I would get involved in other parts of their life because they would trust me. I would build a relationship with them, and I would listen to them. That was the only way I knew that they would listen to me, if I listened to them. And it just grew from there. It just, you know, just started growing. And I realized that it was a passion. It was something I wanted to do. I quit my job, and I said, Lord, this is it. And, you know, I didn't want to do nothing else in my life. And that's it.
And that was in 2003.
That was in 2003.
And you have been going strong since then.
Yes, I hate to hear.
Almost 10 years.
Years.
And have any participants in your program been victims of violence?
Yes. We've had some boys shot. We've had some boys beat up. We've had some boys who beat up people. Went to jail or juvie. Came back out. You know, we've had it all. Been shot at.
Are they still in the program?
No. Some of them are. Some of them not. We still got some core members. Okay. Who started with me in 2003.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Come back and give back to the younger kids.
That's great.
From that batch, we've had six that went to college for the first time.
Were they the first ones in their families
first
to go?
First ones in the family.
Nice.
Very nice. And we have some who dropped off, some who are in jail now. We had a mix, you know. But we did fare pretty well, you know. We got whole families in KOB now, you
nice.
Know. Yeah, it went from one kid to the next one, the cousin, the sister, the brother. But it's a lot of them that dealt with violence. And it's affecting them big time.
I'm sure.
It is. Because not only is it somebody in their family sometimes it's somebody that they knew, a close friend. Sometimes it's just somebody they heard about it, they knew down the street, you know, they passed by, and it's affecting them, you know.
And I know you have the memorial outside to the victims of violence, and you said it started when?
2007, May, when Blair Holt was killed.
And when you began, about how many bricks did you have?
30.
And how many do you have now?
220, and we're behind 160.
Wow. So those are victims of violence from 2007
yeah.
through today.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, we're getting ready to tear it down for the seventh time because we ran out of room. We have no more room.
Wow.
So I just made arrangements today to tear it down because we have so many families out of those 160 who are waiting on us to put their kids through. But we have no room.
And
let me ask you something.
Sure.
And I know you're supposed to be asking me, but I'm sorry. I just got to ask you this thing. When you saw that for the first time, I mean, personally saw it, what did you think? I mean, if that was sitting on the corner of your block, could you go about your day normally and, like, it's not there? Nothing's happened?
I would probably stop every time I go and say a little prayer for the families who have lost their children, because you guys put the ages on there, and when you look at 14, 15, 18, I think the oldest one I saw was 21, and those are lives gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that would, I mean, that person hurts my feelings because I know that there's a mother
somewhere,
or family
somewhere
missing a child whose life is gone so soon unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? There are two families, because
the
young person that the perpetrator and the perpetrator, their family is impacted.
Wow.
When that happens, and when you got like 10 or 12 of them in a small community, it affects the whole community.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I saw it, I mean, even when I saw it in the Defender, that was a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You just look at. This is a child. Why is this child's life? Why has it ended?
Yeah, just gone.
Unnecessarily.
With the youngest, I think, over there is 8. And the oldest over there is 24. And if you see them older than that, those are special requests from mothers who have came and said, can you please put a stone? My son was killed back in 89. Oh, well, you know.
Wow. See, it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So what can children do to become a part of KOB?
Come to the center, call us on the phone. We do not make it hard for them. If they call and say they want to change their life, I want to do something with my life, we all in.
Okay.
Simple as that.
And how can the community help you maintain what you're doing?
Get involved. Even if it's not with Kids Off the Block, get involved. Especially get involved in young people's lives. Let them walk the street like, you know, it's just them. It's not just them. It's community. It's a neighborhood. when I used to walk the street when I was growing up, and the kids, when I say this, the kids go, yeah, but that was 80 years ago. But it wasn't. But still, when I used to walk the block, everybody on the block knew who I was. And I realized that, so I didn't do that.
Right.
Because I knew all they had to do was talk to my mama, you know. Mm-hmm. But we go in the house, we close the door. But if we're on the porch, we turn our head. You know, Johnny walking past us, we don't like his pants hanging down. We want to criticize him for that. But we don't even want to talk to him. We don't even want to say, hey, what's up, little brother? Why you ain't go to school today, Johnny? Oh, you can't get to school? Let me help you get to school. Okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't even do that. And then we chastise him because of it.
Instead of helping. So that's the end of my interview today. Did you have anything else that you want to add about Kids Off the Block?
I do. We're like other organizations, we were struck with a loss of funding because of the economy. But one thing I know for sure, God did not give me this because he said a barrel of money was around the corner. He gave me this because I believe, because not only is there a generation out there that needs people like myself, but because I'm selfish. I never felt better in my life. I wouldn't do anything else in my life. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. And so it's about 1,000 or more people in Chicago like myself, maybe more. If we would all come together, can you imagine what we could do? The power to save a generation, to teach them that they got that same power. I'm really serious. I hope that gets said on your interview.
Okay.
You know, because as long as we're separated, they're separated. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
And this will be posted on Shorty, your Chicago South Side resource.
Okay.